Go ahead. Like ESPN Chicago on Facebook.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Our Super Bowl is set. We've got the Chiefs taking on San Francisco. We'll be down in Miami, by the way.
Yeah.
So can't wait for that.
I think this is the matchup most people wanted. I know this was the matchup I wanted. I wanted to see this one. I didn't want to see Chiefs and Packers, not because I'm hating the Packers like many. I just thought this was the best matchup.
You did? Because I thought for business purposes, with a lot of Packer fans in Chicago, with it being a rematch of Super Bowl I in the 100th year, with Rodgers, the old guy, against the young guy, Mahomes, I thought that maybe, as much as I root against the Packers, I thought that could have been, like, from a business standpoint, from our show standpoint, the most intriguing matchup for us.
Personally, that may be true. I mean, but I just, my football want was this matchup.
Yeah, I know how much you love Shanahan. You've always liked Jimmy G, too.
Yeah, I want to hold them both.
And I want to get into some of those games.
Don't get jealous, Meller.
We also have talked about whether you were openly rooting and having fun with the Packers losing, even though our team stinks. And there's a lot of hate on Twitter today going back and forth. And somebody was ripping the poll question that I put out there. Whether
was
you were,
it a day that ends in a Y?
There was a guy who's a Packers fan who took very much offense to it and called Chicago the city of losers. And then he said, like, you know, was ripping the Bears and called Chicago the city of losers. But yet it's a guy who is in his profile Twitter picture is the picture is in front of the Chicago skyline on the lake with his like wife and his daughter. It was very odd.
There are so many people that incriminate themselves just with their Twitter profiles. Like when they go through, I hate you. I want you to die. I want you physically to ache every day between now and the end of the week when I hope you die. I hope you get hit with a bus. And it says, John 3:16, my wife, my child, and my pastor, the most important things in my life.
Educator, yeah. Coach.
Yes. Life
peace
coach
and love.
An English teacher at a grade school.
Right, right. Hashtag
really?
Peace, hashtag love.
Yeah, I mean, really? You want me to die? You want me to, you know, be blinded and then die at the end of the week because I don't like your football team or had a bad take?
Yeah, well, you did say you're rooting against the Packers, you meathead.
Right. All right, so I want to play this for you. Tom Brady was at the UFC fight. This surprised me. I did not think that we were going to get the ass-kicking that Cowboy Cerrone took
on. I didn't see it.
Okay, was it Cowboy Cerrone or Cowboy Cerrone?
I don't know.
40 seconds.
Yeah. I
He's
know Yurko. I was following Yurko on Twitter. He was not happy with his investment because he didn't think he got enough for his money.
I thought Kyle McGregor was not going to be focused.
Conor McGregor?
What did I say?
I don't know. I thought you said Kyle McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
Oh, Conor.
I didn't think Conor McGregor was going to be ready and focused. And Conor McGregor kicked some ass.
I didn't see it. Did
he
you?
He needs to focus on UFC and not on boxing.
Yeah, that's... I mean, listen, if they're going to pay you $20 million, you focus on boxing.
He made like $3 million for this fight. And
I guess. 40 seconds, though.
Did you see the fight? I didn't see it.
Well, I saw
the whole fight because it was 40 seconds.
Yeah. It was floating around Twitter. And,
yeah.
He went to I didn't know this was a move, by the way. The shoulder thing.
Oh, yeah.
The shoulder thrust? What do they call that?
It's a shoulder punch.
It's a shoulder punch.
Your shoulder's a weapon.
So what happened? Describe what happened. Why did it only last 40 seconds?
He came in. Well, he broke Cerrone's nose, first of all. And then he came in with a flying kick to start that thing, and he knocked him out. The TKO'd him with that. But then some of the shoulder thrusts or shoulder punches did some damage.
I don't pretend to be able to last for 5 seconds in the octagon. But wouldn't you think that the game plan against Conor McGregor, he's probably going to come in, he's a little amped up, is to maybe stay away from him a little bit for the first bit?
He runs right at you. What are you supposed to do?
Okay.
Have
a defensive game plan and try to get him a little tired in the first minute or two.
I don't think there's a defense for a foot to the face.
Ooh, so we
really?
Should
do so you're just standing there with your hands tied to your legs and going, kick me in the face.
Do a poll question. Whose ass got kicked more, the Packers or Cowboy Cerrone?
Do you think, Waddle, you'd last longer in the octagon or prison?
I think the octagon.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's a fight right away. You think you could last longer in the octagon?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think you're underestimating the octagon there, buddy.
I think you're underestimating prison.
No, I am not.
This is a contact sport from the start.
Yes.
I'm just saying that you may get two minutes of conversation.
And you may get disqualified if you try to do something to me in the octagon that someone else would try to do to me in prison. You may get DQ'd early.
I don't know. There aren't many things banned in the octagon.
I'll come in there and shoulder punch you right now.
Listen, this is like... This is not me saying, hey, I can last in the octagon. This is me saying prison is the absolute last stop. Wow.
I just think there's odds that you're going to get in prison. There might be a little downtime. You're in the octagon.
Waddle tore his hamstring playing kickball.
Yeah.
What would happen to you in the octagon?
I'm not fighting. You throw me in the octagon.
Well, you're not running with a pull hammy.
I'm covering up, and I'm going to try to last as long as I can.
What's your move? Are you trying to go to the fetal position?
I'm going to call my lawyer. I go to my phone, my cell phone.
Lawyer.
I'm going to lawyer up. That's what I'm going to do.
You're in the octagon. Who are you lawyering up with?
With a briefcase.
I don't know why you think being in jail is easier than the octagon.
I just think you last longer. Yeah, you're not lasting more than
20 seconds.
Yeah,
Cerrone only lasted 40 seconds.
And he's a professional.
They're not apples to apples. I mean, like, there's what, five rounds? Of course I could last 30 seconds in jail for sure, and then life gets difficult.
That's the point.
That was the question.
Yes. Oh, well, that's stupid. Of course you could get knocked out in 5 seconds. Big deal. It's about long-term preservation. This is dumb.
This is our Tom Brady discussion, isn't it?
And by the way, you asked the question, why was he talking? Well, there were owners there.
Let me give context. So here's Brady at the fight for Conor McGregor, and... It's in Vegas, right?
Yes.
And Mark Davis is there. And supposedly they spoke for a long time. The owner of the Raiders, who's moving to Vegas with John Gruden, who doesn't like his quarterback, and Tom Brady, who needs a new home. So you don't think there's anything to this?
I wouldn't make too much of it. I mean, football owner, greatest quarterback in the world, same building.
You could give him a handshake and move on. They seem to be in depth.
I don't see how Tom Brady could go into one room with Belichick and Daniels and Kraft and then go in the other room
with Mark Davis
and John Gruden I'm going to go here.
Maybe Brady's looking for some, you know, hair tips.
Where do when you're a really accomplished singer, where do you go to take up residency?
I know you're doing the Vegas thing. Yes, I know.
That's what these accomplished people do. That's what Lady Gaga does. She's toured around the world. You get to this point now where you go to you take up residency for like a year. Tom Brady's going to take up a Vegas residency for a year.
He's not going to win a ring there, though. He wants to win a ring. He's not going to win a ring
in
Vegas.
Bad. They beat us.
This is good.
With Derek Carr
during the football season, Brady is the Las Vegas Raiders quarterback, and in the off season. He's doing show tunes. He's at a theater in the wind doing a motivational speaking for the TB12 brand.
I think he'd be doing more prop comedy like Carrot Top. More of a prop comedian than Tom Brady.
I think Tom Brady knows how to play the game, and he knew that the longer he stayed with Mark Davis, the longer that this would get out there and it would tweak some people and it would get his conversation.
What Meller said, that here's the guy who looks like he should be in Dumb and Dumber. Mark Davis, right. His haircut, it could be the worst haircut in America. And Belichick and Kraft's like a dad to him. Belichick's the greatest ever. And here he is getting major TV exposure. He wants those two to say to themselves, we're the best in the world. We treat them like gold. Right. And he's talking to Dumb and Dumber
guy.
You
know what Belichick's saying? You want to go hang out with that moron? Then go hang out with that moron. I mean, he doesn't care. Belichick is pining probably for Tom Brady to pick somebody else. He shouldn't, because I think the both of them together is the best option for both. But you know, I mean, there's probably the ego in both of them want to prove immediately that they can do it without the other one.
I was sort of mad at myself, though, when I said, why didn't I ever consider the Raiders when we were talking about San Diego and we were talking about some of the other teams? Could the Bears be a possibility? Because they do have to sell tickets. They have that new shiny, and Vegas is not far from L.A.
I know, it's- but the Raiders could. The one of the reasons they traded Khalil Mack was they couldn't afford to pay him. Okay? So, I mean, that was a significantly bigger contract. But when Khalil Mack agrees to the term, immediately the team that is making the deal with him has to put, I believe, all 100% of the guaranteed money in escrow, don't they? Isn't that the rule?
Yeah, that's the league
rules. And they
rules.
Didn't have the cash.
Okay. Here's Tom Brady. This was on Westwood One. Was this his Jim Gray interview?
I believe
weekend,
it was,
guys?
Yes.
About how he's open-minded. And Shefty, again, continues to keep saying that he's going to go into free agency looking at these teams. Whether he goes back to the Patriots, that could happen, but he's very open-minded right now.
I'm open-minded about the process, and you know, at the same time, I love playing football, and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
What do you,
Tweak, I'm tweaking you.
What do you think the greatest motivation is here? Do you think he's playing chicken with the Patriots and he just wants to return there with love and money? Do you think that he really is truly open to wanting to see if there's a better place for him at this stage?
I find it hard to believe that he's motivated by money. His wife out-earns him. He's worth more money than he needs. The validation of the money, maybe, but I would think what's most important to him at the age of 42 or 43 is going to a team that gives him a chance to win. So he's going to survey the landscape and see which teams he thinks he can actually win with. I don't believe the Raiders will be at the top of that list. Maybe the Chargers, maybe the Titans, maybe somebody else. I don't believe the Raiders are going to be his destination.
If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776 and the changing of the guard at quarterback. We know Mahomes is one of the best, but is Jimmy G, the local product, capable of carrying the 49ers to a Super Bowl championship? Because we haven't seen it yet. That conversation is next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, so we know that Pat Mahomes can win a game. He can win the MVP. He can carry a team. We've seen it.
Combined totals in the postseason the last 2 years.
Carmen was texting us about that. What is it, Waddle? Tear the Band-Aid off.
I don't have those totals for you exactly, but I can guarantee you I can get those for you very quickly.
I've got it somewhere. Was it the one that Carmen sent us yesterday?
Well, I know he's got 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in his postseason career.
Right.
Okay.
11 touchdowns, zero interception, and two rushing touchdowns.
Yes.
In four career playoff games.
In his two combined playoff games this year, 132 quarterback rating.
Mm.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yes. So we know he's great. We know that San Francisco's been great at running the football. Can they win if they need to? If they need Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes. Like I said earlier, go back to the San Francisco game when they went to New Orleans and they had to play, you know, a shootout kind of football game. And in that game, Jimmy Garoppolo was 26 of 35 for 349 yards, four touchdowns and one interception. So he's capable of it. He's not Patrick Mahomes. But look, I think what happened in their playoff game two games ago against the Vikings, it's my impression that not only was the run working, but Jimmy was off. And Kyle Shanahan realized it early and kind of protected him with how he manufactured the game plan. I don't think they ran it and only threw it eight times yesterday because they were afraid of of Jimmy Garoppolo, they ran it and continued to run it the way they did because it was working.
Because they could.
Because they could.
Yeah, it's the old
thing. I don't think that they were not throwing. And I think that Kyle Shanahan is that good of an offensive coordinator that at a lot of, you know, in certain circumstances, if he feels like bad Jimmy's out there and Jimmy, the guy that will throw into traffic and will you know, confound you at times with some of the risks he takes, then he'll protect him with some of the play calls. But I think that, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that Garoppolo, if called upon, can deliver if he needs to. I just think that they would, their preferred approach to offense is being very balanced.
Yeah, I would say this. It, you know, the way Garoppolo does it, it is reliant on Shanahan scheming guys open. But yeah, as Waddle and I have raved about it all season long, he's probably, you know, he might be the only guy who may be on level with him is the guy he's coaching against in this game, and Andy Reid, in terms of scheming guys wide open. So Jimmy Garoppolo just needs to make those throws. I think if anything, what I would be concerned about if you're rooting for the 49ers or you want to invest in them is that what you saw in that game against the Vikings shows you that Jimmy Garoppolo could be nervous at some point.
Yes.
And in a big game, I don't think what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes, he just goes out and plays football. He doesn't get scared.
No.
Even when they were trailing the Texans 24-0, none of that was on Mahomes. It was all on his receivers dropping balls or his own teammates fumbling the ball. Mahomes has been nothing but lethal in every playoff game he's played.
I think that Jimmy Garoppolo still has played, even with the postseason, fewer games than Mitch. And the only reason I even bring that up is because he's 28.
Bring Mitch up, Waddle.
He's 28, so he's still learning and developing.
Well, how many does Mitch have? 42 games as well?
I think Jimmy's got 40. Is 42 Jimmy 42 as well?
Yes.
So, yeah, they're on the same level in terms of the experience.
Do you know what Jimmy's touchdown to interception ratio is?
Yeah, he's 2-1. He's right at totally 2-1.
Exactly. 44 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. So, tad better than 2-1. Yeah, and I mean, look, he's not. This was his first full season. Did you say that too?
No, but it's yes. But this was the first year he started 16 games.
In 2016, he started 2 games. In 2017, he started 5 games. In 2018, last year, he only started 3 games and got hurt.
Yeah,
and then he came back in less than a year and he started 16 games.
He's still a guy that is learning to play. So, one full year as a starter is what his experience level is. And this year, 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and he threw for just below 4,000 yards. He threw for 3,978 yards.
Robert's in Plainfield. Rob, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Tom Brady to the Raiders. And I just don't think it's a good fit. As a Raider fan, we can't stand Tom Brady. So I don't see them getting the money, selling the merchandise and things of that nature.
Wait a minute, Robert. I hated Dennis Rodman. Hawks fans hated Bob Probert. You know, Sox fans hated Albert Bell. Does it really matter if you hated a guy if he could come and help you?
I think it does. I really do think it matters. I don't see a lot of Raider fans buying up Tom Brady jerseys. I don't see Tom Brady, even the decline of his career, right? If you look at Derek Carr and Tom Brady statistically this year, they're not that far apart. So I don't think you're paying $20 million to Derek Carr. You cut him, you owe him $5 million. Then you go and you get Tom Brady for $25 million, and you're basically statistically going to get the same stuff. I just don't see that the ceiling is higher with Tom Brady than it is Derek Carr.
Do you believe that Gruden thinks that?
I haven't heard or read anything that Gruden hates Derek Carr. Everything is from 12 up and sports, and they're not necessarily the most reputable sources. You know, Mayock just talked about Derek Carr in a really good way. And so I think Derek Carr gets at least one more year with the Raiders before they decide to make a decision. I could see him bringing in a guy to push him, maybe a later draft pick or a Marcus Mariota type. But I don't see him, you know, doing a wholesale change at quarterback.
Well, he's also, isn't he also, Robert, on the, I mean, $25 million is what they're paying him, right? $20
million? Well, yeah. Yeah, and when you look at the quarterback market right now, you know, guys from 10 to 20 on your list of the best quarterbacks in the league are making $20, $25 million. And Carr's in that, so it's not like he's overpaid.
Well, I'm just, what I'm saying is I don't even know if the Raiders, I mean, what could they, if you trade Carr or you cut him, I don't know what the salary cap ramifications are.
Yeah, you're going to have some of the money still on your books, but.
Cap and I, he asked me again today, hey, if they came to you and said, Tom wants to come here.
I heard him talking a lot about that today.
2 years, $60 million. And Meller and I have this conversation all the time, and my first response is just to burp, yes, because it's Tom Brady. But when you look at the situation, I mean, if you pay him now, how much money do I have left to fix some of my other issues? Because if he stands behind this line, he's going to get wrecked. So the line's got to be fixed. You got to put a new offense in. This is, you know, it's Tom Brady at 43. I just think Tom Brady is perfect for what the New England Patriots have going right now, and that he should run that streak as long as he can go. I just don't know how it's going to translate to another town. I just don't. And I think he's the best that's ever played the game. But he's going to be 43. I don't know. I mean, you're going to give him $30 million if you go to a certain town?
Don't you sort of have to? If Tom Brady came to the Bears and said, I want to be back in the Midwest, I don't know, for whatever reason. I don't know why.
I love my time in Michigan.
I want to be close to Michigan. Ann Arbor.
It's the charter franchise.
Your first thought is, Tom Brady going to come to Chicago? I mean, the energy that it would bring to this organization. Yeah. Definitely, but then...
I know. How are you going to pay for it? And a lot of people have said, this is Dwayne Wade all over again. The only way it's different than Dwayne Wade is they were... This Bears team is more ready to win than the Bulls were. The Bulls weren't making a title run with Dwayne Wade, and I'm not promising you that they could with Tom Brady, but they were 8 wins with Mitch Trubisky, and Mitch Trubisky regressing, even with the bad tight end, even with the bad offensive line, even with, you know, a defense that wasn't as good. And with Tom Brady, they would have won a couple more games, 2-3 more games. It would be tough for me to turn down. But
I don't know if that team's 11-5 with Tom Brady this year. I just don't. I'm not. I could be, but I don't know.
Come on now. You win the Raiders game. You win the Chargers game.
Listen, you're going to go back in time and do all that. There are other issues that you could point.
It's not coming down to a field goal in Denver. You know, I mean.
Listen, you know I have more. Now it's like we've flipped roles here. Like.
Mitch did, in a lot of these games, I know he didn't play in the Raiders game, there were games where Mitch did nothing until the end. The Denver game, he did nothing until the end.
I get it. And like I said, my first inclination is to bark out, yes, but it's a really nuanced conversation.
I would love to keep this conversation going, too, because of the business side. But I really, when I hear Cap talk about it, I hear you guys, why would he want to be here?
I don't know. Statistically, the Patriots' defense was better.
It's not like a more glamorous spot. Boston and Chicago are very comparable. If you're going to want a more glamorous spot, you're going out west.
Are you coming here?
To New York.
So what are you doing when you come here, too? Learning a new system? You're going to run Matt Nagy's system? Or are you going to, you know, dictate what the system's going to be? That's why I'm telling you, at the age of 43, I think that staying in New England with that defense in that division... Like, you're not playing in the AFC East anymore. You're playing in the NFC North, which is a more competitive division than the one you're coming from.
Right. You know me. I can dream with the best of them when LeBron and the Bulls were, I was all in, and the Cutler stuff, people were telling us, stop talking about it. You and I stayed on it, and sure enough, they traded for Cutler. This one, where he has different avenues where, hey, I could go play in L.A. in a new stadium and move my family out there, better weather. I could stay in New York where I just bought a home. I could go to Vegas. Like, why would he say, out of all the places, I want to play for the McCaskies and in Chicago?
Well, you're going to get, like, offensively, what was the biggest beef in New England? He didn't have enough around him. Yeah. Now, I mean, I think he'd love Allen Robinson, and I think Anthony Miller presents some promising stuff. There are more questions here than there are there.
Yeah. So that conversation is out there. I do believe that the Brady stuff is serious about him looking, whether he's just doing this to get what he wants. But this thing's going to be high drama, I believe, when free agency begins. So if you want to weigh in, 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Also, a recap of the weekend in the good, the bad, and the dirty. That's next.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty. Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty on this Monday holiday, Martin Luther King Day. We do the good, the bad, the dirty every single Monday at 4:30. It's brought to you by Comcast Business. It's been around the room, the four of us, with Meller and Abdallah weighing in as well. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty that we may have experienced in sports or life. Waddle, what's your good?
My good is the free money they were giving away in the NFL yesterday on Sunday. Hey. It was a teaser weekend. We finally had a good day of gambling. And I say we because collectively we cash big tickets. So I thought it was the favorites were heavy favorites, and we decided to roll with the chalk. And it was a profitable weekend. So
big
it was,
checks.
Yeah, it was good. Good. It was good to share in the accomplishment and the winning with the whole crew.
There's nothing.
I felt so bad.
I felt like a family.
I felt so bad sending that quick pay to Sylvie.
Why?
Money's it was money. Only $22.
Yeah, $22 so, and like 70 some cents.
Yeah, I mean, but it was $22.70 that he didn't have.
That's true.
There is nothing.
You never, ever feel bad about a profit, my
right,
man.
Right. But that's when I saw in the group text that you guys won 200 something, I'm like, where the F was I during all that? Like
you still had the skeptical approach because we were in the freezer for quite some time.
Ryan and I did not want to put as much money as you guys wanted in on all.
Can I tell you, there's nothing underrated.
Well, why not? You saved money on kids' goggles this weekend. You could use that money to put into the gambling pool.
Funny story. I had a couple of different text messages going. Have you ever done this where you think you're texting to somebody?
Oh, yes.
But it's actually the last one that came up, and it was a group text. And I've been searching for goggles for the kids, and this isn't code for anything. The strap broke on one of the kids' goggles. We swim every week, and there was a big Amazon flash sale, and I was very excited to tell my wife about it.
What is an Amazon flash sale?
So, like, they were normally a good price, but yet there was, like, a flash sale until they sold an X amount. So it was only good for, like, a couple of hours. Hey, get in on this. You save an extra 20%.
And so how much did you save?
I think it would win, like, normally...
$2?
These two goggles, you get two goggles, not one, two pairs of goggles.
Two pairs, okay.
Anti-fog, you know, the good stuff.
Gotta have the anti-fog.
They were $25.
Whoa.
Then they were on sale, $13. On sale down to $13. Then, on top of that, the flash sale brought it down to, like, $10.21.
But there's still more.
No, and so then I was very excited to text my wife about this as she was at work. But little did I know that I texted Boyle, Meller, Abdallah, Carmen, and Waddle about the flash sale. About my goggles. And I was very excited, even though they only had one strap.
We saved $4 extra on goggles, and I just won $22.
Yeah!
Pack up the kids.
Everything's coming up, Sylvie.
We're going to dinner.
It's the small things in life.
Absolutely.
These days.
No, quickly, though, secretly underrated, guys, is when you go in as a team on a gambling bet. It's so much more fun that way.
It is when we win.
Because you're an equipment manager.
But we live it, we, with this crew here. There, you know, every now and again, some barbs are sent in the direction of the person that may have suggested that we take this or that.
That's all
right. It can get a little sloppy, like most family gatherings.
Take good with the bad.
Yeah.
Can I go with my good then?
Sure.
Thank you to Waddle for recommending this to me. Out of all the great things that did happen, whether it was me getting good value on goggles or winning a bet or watching all the fantastic football, DePaul 1-2, the Blackhawks, on and on and on. The best thing that I saw was my dessert on Sunday late night. Because first of all, I was waiting for Curb Your Enthusiasm and I had to wait for my wife to get home from work to watch it. So I started The Outsider on HBO, and it is awesome. I'm only one episode in, but it's exactly why I love that type of dramas. I can't wait to go home tonight and watch the second one now. And then it led into Curb Your Enthusiasm. Curb Your Enthusiasm after the hiatus. Jeff Garlin, Larry David, didn't miss a beat. Yesterday, A-plus premiere episode. Happy New Year! What's his name? Mocha Joe?
New Year, Mocha Joe.
All right, what's next?
Gentlemen, this is the only thing I think so far this season that I've seen that is better that has been better than Pat Boyle's mustache on NBC Sports Network.
That was glorious.
And I'm going to let the man who is a professional give it to you better than I can.
That's what's keeping it alive. Kane down low. Saturday, touchback. to achieve 1,000 points. Only the fourth Blackhawk to ever do that. He joins the uncheckable check, the Golden Jet, and Savoir Faire on a very short list.
Good stuff right there.
So it was a helper, too, right? It wasn't a goal. It was an assist. Helper,
yes.
It was like a tic-tac-toe. Is that what you hockey people call it?
Sure.
Is that a tic-tac-toe?
Sure.
Abdallah?
Yeah, greasy goal right there.
Kane becomes the youngest American to reach that number as well.
And ninth? Is it the ninth or eighth or ninth American to do it?
The ninth American and the youngest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The ninth American to ever
cool.
do it and the youngest
Very
ever
cool.
do it.
Yeah, and the Hawks are hot.
Five
and
in a row?
Yes, big time. They're hot. They play tomorrow against Coach Q and the Panthers at home.
Are you going to the game?
I am not going to the game. No. I'll be watching, though.
In spirit.
Abdallah, you're good.
Guys, my good is going to go to, we celebrate our own, and I have lashed myself onto the San Francisco 49ers since the Bears were out of it a while ago. Robert Saleh, their defensive coordinator, the first, this could not be real, but as far as I know, he's the first Arab American to be coaching in the Super Bowl. As the defensive coordinator, dialed up 3 sacks for 30 yards, 2 interceptions on Aaron Rodgers yesterday. All him, not the players. All him. All the defensive coordinator. All Robert Saleh. So, yeah, that's my good to him.
You know what? They're not just Robert Saleh, but also Eric Bieniemy, who, as far as I'm concerned, was calling all of the plays. Andy may be in the headset and be giving some suggestions, but it looks, and I don't know the ins and outs of what the Chiefs are doing, but it looks like Eric Bieniemy has been calling all of these plays. And the fact that neither one of those guys is going to be a head coach next year seems a little off.
It does.
Seems a little off to me.
Bieniemy, I would think, would get a job next year, especially if they win it all.
Yeah.
What's your bad?
My bad was the defensive performance of the Green Bay Packers, specifically their run defense. The San Francisco 49ers ran the ball 42 times for 285 yards, including Raheem Mostert, who ran for 220. They averaged 6.8 yards per carry, and a vast majority of those rushing yards came before contact. It was truly like a high school football team playing against a grade school defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. And that may offend a few people that are Packers fans. But listen, they look like they were in different leagues. What the 49ers offensive line and tight ends were doing against that Packer defense that had such a good year, it was a mismatch. It was so the Packers defense was just bad.
I saw some Packer fans tweet that they wanted Mike Pettine out. But they should bring him back for at least the two Bears games every year because he sure seems to know what he's doing then. My bad was, and this perfect because it's the other game defensively, especially on the Patrick Mahomes run right before the half. Patrick Mahomes had that touchdown run. They played the clock perfectly. He knew he had timeout so then he could go for the end zone. But what the hell were the Titans doing in trying to tackle him? Take a damn shot. He's a runner at that case. Someone needs to hit him. Nobody hit him.
Yeah.
This is your chance to really make him want to think about running in the future. You need to prevent a touchdown.
Like one of the Chiefs planted Ryan Tannehill when he tucked and ran on a third down. You're right.
Yeah, you got to go after him. That was bad.
I'm with you.
Boys, my bad is the lack of competition this year in the English Premier League as Liverpool is lapping the field. Nobody wants to give them any competition, and it's too bad for them. But Liverpool's awesome, so they're fun to watch.
So they have not lost a game, right? They've tied some?
They have one draw in the first 22 games of the season. That is the best ever in any of the top five leagues across Europe. So they may be the best team ever.
Yeah, when ratings are down, blame them because no one's going to be watching past
Ever.
March. My bad is going to go to all of the people that were on Twitter yesterday saying that all the 49ers points were scored by former Bears. What? We're gonna blame the Bears for giving up on Raheem Mostert, who no one heard of before of yesterday.
16, he was on the
like,
team.
Come on, okay. And Robbie Gould. One of the worst arguments in the world is that the Bears should have kept Robbie Gould is because he had to reinvent the way he kicked. Basically, relearn how to kick when he left.
Robbie told us that story many times in order to be good again.
So don't stop.
Robbie said that he never would have been as good as he is now if the Bears didn't cut him, because then he had to go back to the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our dirties coming up next, including Cubs fans booing the owner that made lots of big decisions to get them a World Series. It's all next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We continue the good, the bad, the dirty. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. What's your dirty, Waddle?
My dirty was the fourth quarter Zach LaVine had in their Friday night win against the Cleveland Cavaliers. 21 points, 42 on the game, but 21 in the fourth quarter, or excuse me, the second half. Let me start this over. Zach LaVine's second half. Was it the fourth quarter? Fourth quarter. Yes, 21 points in the fourth quarter. So I was right when I started talking.
They were down by double digits most of the fourth quarter. And he continued to just do it on his own. And some of these games that they have won this year, it's because Zach LaVine has had miraculous shots in fourth quarters. He can score in bunches.
Yes. And I know it's just the Cavs, but
it's great against
21
the
points in the fourth quarter is very impressive.
Where was he against the 76ers?
I don't know, but you know what?
They can't beat a good team.
You know what? He didn't get good or dirty recognition on that game. He did this one.
Okay. That's fair.
How do you think he would do on a good team? How would he mesh as a third, like a number three now who could shoot?
I think
he'd be different.
He'd want the ball more if he were the three. He'd want to handle the ball more, I think. You know?
I don't know. I mean, he would space the floor because he can hit the three.
Because he could shoot.
And he can give you a little, you know, pump fake and get to the rim as well. I would think he would fit in. You know, he's not going to be your leading scorer, but I think he would fit in okay.
It depends on who your one and twos are because, like, you know, if he's with James Harden, that's like being a different
that
type of one than everyone
him,
else.
Westbrook and Harden wouldn't work.
No.
Could he work on the 76ers?
Or maybe the Bucks with Giannis as your key.
That's a good,
You know what I mean?
I don't think the Bulls are looking to trade him because only damn thing they have right
I would
now.
Think he, like you said, you know, he's cost controlled with regard to how other players are being paid.
And again, like we've talked about, he shoots it now. He can shoot that three.
Yeah, he shoots 40%.
Very smooth. My dirty is, we talked about this, we did a whole thing on it. If you want to weigh in, I invite your phone calls at 332-3776. Cubs fans, I love you. You know I'm a Cubs fan. It was Cubs convention over the weekend. I don't know what you're booing Ricketts about. What's bad about this?
What our promise for the next 10 years is to continue to have the best relationship with our fans of any sport in the world, any professional sports team in the world. And that starts with the Marquee Network. The Marquee Network. What do you have against the Marquee Network? Believe me. You won't be booing about that in a year. You guys won't. You won't be booing about the Marquee Network in 1 year.
No one advised him that there would be boos on that.
Well, it sounded like the group was restless as he was leaning into it.
Why did he pause for applause? Like, why did you think that people were going to applaud that?
I don't know. I do think in a year Cubs fans will be happy. I'm sure there's always going to be people who complain about stuff. But again, if you want the games and it's all going to be in one place. And again, this is the guy who hired Theo. This is the guy who redesigned Wrigley Field. Wrigley will be here for another 100 years.
That it wouldn't have been had he not addressed it.
Yeah.
It was crumbling in spots.
And this isn't like me because I'm a Cubs fan kissing the Cubs ass. Like I said, they've made bad personnel decisions. I love Theo, but they're in the money mess because
I
of
love
Theo. They're in the money. Look, they've had to chase pitching because they haven't been able to develop their own. They had to make a trade for a decent pitcher on the White Sox and give him Aloy because they didn't have cost-controlled starting pitching. They had to go out and they had to continually find new closers. You had to give up Gleyber Torres for one. You had to give up Soler for another. Then you went and you tried to get a guy with the Dodgers who was injury prone, and you wasted $20+ million because of him. That's not a Tom Ricketts issue.
Nope.
I was surprised that Cubs fans. Now we rationalized it for many different reasons. So if you want to recharge this conversation, 312-332-3776.
You mentioned Soler. I was just checking real quick. I wanted to interject this. Do you realize he led the American League in home runs this year? 48.
Yeah,
That's unbelievable.
Gentlemen, my dirty.
Ouch.
I'm going to hand it out to Frank Clark, the Kansas City Chiefs elite pass rusher.
Potty mouth afterwards.
My good. Well, look,
first of all,
I'm going to give him a dirty for what he said on Friday, throwing down the gauntlet at Derrick Henry. Look. You guys may have been able to shut him down, but there's no need to needlessly talk about how he doesn't run hard right before you're going into a championship game.
And be factually accurate.
Yeah.
He does run hard.
Yeah. So that was kind of silly on his part and dirty. And then he wanted to go off on the NFL Network's postgame coverage yesterday and boast about how they did shut him down. And it did get a little bit filthy. Listen here, courtesy of the NFL Network, Frank Clark.
Past two games, each game, 70 yards, over 200 yards each game. I know damn well we weren't going to win the game. We let that happen. They come in here. He ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sending this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me. And all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media said,
they must not know who I am yet. They're going to find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. KC, ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told him when I got here, this is gonna change. Look at this. We the best in the world.
Wait, where was that?
This is the NFL Network after
awesome.
The game.
That's yeah. awesome.
Was it taped? That was, or was that, did that air live? And then that stuff didn't get.
I don't know. I believe it aired live initially, yes, with James Palmer, the sideline reporter.
Didn't also
if you missed it.
How much money can we put down?
If you missed it, he called out D Ford for lining up offsides at the end there.
Yeah.
Who they're about to play.
What's the maximum I can bet on the Chiefs?
Did Travis Kelce also swear on the CBS presentation?
I switched over at that point to the NFC game.
There's a lot of football swearing yesterday.
We can wager 1,100 is the most I can put on my site on the Chiefs. You got that? You got that scratch?
And Meller does. I mean, the Meller's got that in fives in his pocket right now.
Run through a wall. To wrap it up, my dirty goes to, it's going to be to social media again and everybody else. Maybe we did it during crosstalk, making fun of him. Can we let Rob Lowe live? Just let him live. He's a fan of the NFL, and he wants to show it by wearing a hat that represents all the teams and the brand that is the NFL. Let the man swag
out. Let him live.
You're jealous. You're just. You wish. You wish. You wish you looked like 85-year-old Rob Lowe.
Exactly.
Because that is how old he is.
So why can't I criticize him then on a hat?
What?
Out of all the hats in the world to wear,
he can wear whatever the
hell. You don't even have to wear a sport. Wear a Cabela's hat. I don't care.
He loves the NFL. He loves it.
What if
so
he loves
much.
The NFL? He's there pimping his show. Come on.
They made him go to that game. You think he wants to go to that game? He's only at that game because 911 Lone Star was on next.
That's right.
That's the only reason he's at that game.
Is that the show he's in?
911 Lone Star.
Lone Star.
I saw a little bit of it, and they had to move. His kid had some trouble, so they went to the Lone Star State.
We can buy that hat. We can buy that hat right now, $26 a piece,
thanks.
And we can wear it to the Super Bowl.
It was selling out.
What's his name who does the reviews that I dislike so badly? Alberto Riveron. Is there a Alberto Riveron hat he could wear for the Super Bowl?
Do you not like the NFL?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff with it. I love the football games.
The NFL made you $22.97 this week.
Yeah.
You should be happy about the NFL.
I'm still paying
you
for that.
You could spend it on a hat.
Yeah, plus $3 and you get yourself a nice NFL hat.
Because I wear the helmet doesn't mean I approve of, some of the things that go on. Why can't I just wear the NFL shield?
It seems like an odd. It seems to say, I am here to promote a show, so I am being as bland as possible.
He didn't want to do his hair that day. You've got days like that, Sylvie. You don't want to do your hair.
I was going to come in sweats today because of the holiday. But then
I thought about that, too.
Waddle was going to rip me for wearing pajamas again.
Yeah, you do you, man.
Seamus on the north side. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Seamus.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Love your show, Waddle and Sylvie.
Thank you.
So I have been listening to many different takes, recordings of the booing at the club's convention. And I can't help but notice the fact that it only happens as soon as he mentions the marquee network.
Right.
And I think that is what people are really booing at. The fact that now we can't just watch our beloved Cubbies for free. And there are a lot of people out there now who are walking away from all the different cable company providers because they're so expensive. And I think that's really what he's booing at, not being booed about, not the fact that he's Tom Rick.
Yeah, I know, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, do you want the tickets to be free, too? I mean, the way in 20, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but in 2020, you've got to pay for your cable. You've got to pay for your streaming services. That's the way of the world. That, I mean, and they are doing this to get more money into the player upside.
I think this was the timing of it, that your team disappointed and didn't go to the postseason last year. You've made no offseason additions. And now there's a change in how we're possibly going to view the team. I think you put it all together, and it was a combination reason. I think it's more about their lack of success or some of the things they haven't done in the offseason than it was the marquee name.
There's a big debate that we're having today, not only on that, if you want to weigh in, but also having to do with the 49ers and the Packers, and that game having to do with Bears fans. I don't think that any of us thought that this would be a debate today, but we'll bring that back to your attention coming up next.